Hey, everybody, you're listening to episode 144 of the Forest Podcast, recorded Thursday, September 15th, 2011. Laser-based sprites. Welcome to the Forest Podcast. I'm Mike Evans.
I am Kenneth Love.
And we are your daily tech design and development Sonic Probe.
Yes.
This Fine. Is the...
Because the next thing you want after something goes into an orifice is for it to vibrate. Send out sound waves, right?
Maybe it'd heat me up. This is the chilly edition of the Forest Podcast. It's a little cold out, and we're all refusing to actually turn on the heat in our houses.
I just keep thinking, like, oh, I can just go put on my hoodie. And then I'm like, but it's all the way over there.
No, I want you to do your hoodie with the hood up and, like, rocking back and forth, spitting some beats.
I don't know if I can spit beats while we talk.
Could they be mad hot beats? You should rap the entire show.
I should rap.
You should freestyle it.
I'm not a Canadian now living in Detroit.
But you're an Iowan.
No.
That lived in Nevada. That lived in California. That's now living.
I've never been to Iowa.
I thought you were from Iowa.
No.
Minnesota.
No.
Nebraska.
Nope. A little closer than Iowa, though. Look at you, almost getting there. You want to try it again, or are you just gonna give up?
Rhode Island.
I've been there, but no. I was there for a whole like 3 hours.
That's all it takes to get from one end to the other.
I didn't move while I... Well, I did move while I was there. I didn't move from one end to the other while I was there.
Okay.
I was just in the airport in Providence. And so I guess I did move from one end to the other because I flew across, you know, to come back.
We'll see if the chat room can tell us where you're from while we do the show.
Does anyone know where I'm from?
They're going to look it up on your Wikipedia.
They are. Am I on Wikipedia?
You should be.
Let's see if I am.
Kenneth Love.
Yeah, so let's look it up, see if I'm on. If I'm not, I expect to be on here by the end of the episode. Somebody better get this shit going. I am not on there.
That's outrageous.
It is. All right, so the first thing today is Code Babies.
Oh, shit, 1 second. Well, keep going. If you look at the screen, it says we're doing episode 140.
You're four episodes behind, Mike.
Keep talking about Code Babies.
So Code Babies, those of you who have children... You'll know about this. You know, when they're babies, when they're like a year old or so, you get them the little cardboard books full of bright colors and pictures and stuff. And they flip through and they're like, oh, look, a ducky, right?
Right.
Well, so this one is for the geeky parents, and it is HTML for your babies. It's HTML for babies. Web Design for Babies Volume 1 is the first one, and it's just HTML for babies.
This is HTML for... parents with babies. They're just gonna get him like, oh, look how clever that is.
Yeah, pretty much. This is gonna be the one, like, you know, all these nerds are gonna be like, dude, that's so awesome. I'd buy that. But it's a 5x7 board book, 16 pages. You can buy it online on Amazon for $9. Not that bad of a price.
This is gonna be the geek designer gag gift of the holidays.
Yeah, this is going to be just insane. But it's funny.
It looks nice. It looks like it's printed well.
It does. It looks like it's printed well. It's a neat gag. I mean, it's silly, but I think it's pretty funny. I would have one of these books like on my desk. If I worked in like an office or something,
right.
And I'm like the web guy, and then have this book there just to mess with people, be like, "Wait, what?"
Give it to Michael Scott.
For babies. He's a baby?
A baby.
There was something about a... What was it? Something about a baby.
Holy shit, this is handy.
So the next one is copypastecharacter.com.
Yes.
And what it is, it's a whole bunch of common characters that you might want to have, like the Unicode Snowman or an Intero Bang or the Recycle Symbol, because why not, right? But you're like, oh, I'm too damn lazy to pull up the character palette, or I'm on an OS that doesn't have a character palette, or whatever. You can't remember the key combination to type something in. So you go here, and you click, and it will let you copy that into your clipboard, and then you can paste it wherever. There's also an iPhone app, and a coffee mug.
Wait, is it just giving me the thing, or is it giving me, like, the HTML, like...
No. It just gives you the character, as in, like... text, right, that you
right.
copy and paste, like, into an IM or pages or something like that. If you click the as HTML,
Then it gives it.
Should make it to where it gives you the HTML code.
Yes, that's what I really like. That's going to be fucking handy. I meant to bookmark this page.
Yeah. And then, like I said, there is a coffee mug you can go get for $14 that has all the characters wrapped around it.
How incredibly fucking handy.
If for some reason you need this as a coffee mug.
Now, if that coffee mug was like a touchscreen and I could just touch there to get it.
It kind of loses its usefulness when it becomes a coffee mug.
Yes. It's like all it can do now is hold hot fluids.
Right. Now all it does is keep things from spreading across my desk, whereas before, it gave me handy-dandy characters.
What if we had never invented cups?
We'd never invented cups? There's probably a lot of other inventions we never would have made.
Just lots of racing towards trying to get drinks as they flow across a table.
You know, so we never invented cups. Would we have invented bowls?
Right, but we never made the connection that you could just put only drinks inside of bowls. People are just eating stew and cereal out of bowls. And then one day somebody's like, dude, if I just put the milk in there without the cereal, I can just drink it straight out of there. That's amazing.
There's a coffee bar, it's like a
coffee
bakery.
Hutch.
Well, it's like you can get like sandwiches and baked goods and then like coffee and tea, right? In San Francisco called La Boulange, and there's two or three different ones of them. But they serve coffee, at least the one I always went to, so they serve coffee out of bowls. So you get like a bowl, like, I don't know, it's like the size of like both hands full of coffee.
Oh, they're so clever. They're so unique and new
and
interesting. It's
so weird drinking coffee out of a bowl.
I'm sure it is. And it was going to cool down faster.
Like, first time you're like, how do I drink out of a bowl the size of my face?
And then the second time you take your own cup and you're just like,
yeah, then you're just kind of, after that you're just kind of like, can I get it in a cup? I see the mugs down back behind the counter. Can I just get it in a cup?
But no, man, this is what we're all about, man. We're breaking the rules.
There are a lot of fucking hipsters there, so. Yeah. All right, Nicholas Firth McCoy. His name sounds wrong, but that's it. This is the Firth, right? Like, do you ever read Cake Rex?
No.
Do you know what Cake Rex is?
No.
Okay, Cake Rex is a blog that collects pictures of fucked up cakes. So, like you go to, you know, Walmart to get, like, your birthday cake.
Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
Right, so, like, the one they've been talking about recently, there's been several of them, is the number 3 and then TH. Like, happy third birthday, but instead it's thirth birthday. And they had one today that was a 2th. I don't know how you even pronounce that. But, yeah. So, Firth sounds like Thirth, and then I think it's wrong. So, anyway, though. He says to stop using SQLite for Rails dev.
It's one of those things where it's like, stop using it unless you're going to be careful. And it's like, be careful.
Well, I think it's good advice on the whole to tell people to stop using SQLite for Rails dev or Django dev or whatever, anything else that uses SQLite. Because until you know about these bugs, you're like, everything works wonderfully, and it's all kittens and unicorns, and then you deploy it, and there's no more kittens and unicorns.
Right, well, I mean, it's just subtle differences.
There's just a horse's head in your bed.
Like the default for SQLite when it comes to doing precision and scale with decimals.
Right. So, yeah, it's just there's all sorts of little problems in here to learn about.
I think you should just deploy on SQLite also, and then your problems are solved.
I think you should just code live on a server.
That too. That,
you don't have to worry about it. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't. No one's going
to
care.
So, and then he goes into saying how to set up Rails with MySQL, which I didn't think was required in this blog post because it's simply a matter of saying dash database MySQL, but whatever.
Well, he's making sure he's got all the bases covered. I think it's good that he went that extra step. I do. I think it's good that he went that extra step.
I think he was trying to write a Smashing Magazine article, but couldn't come up with any extra content.
No, he's got nowhere near enough content for Smashing. Smashing Magazine, that'd be at least like 5 times longer. Next one is from Joshua Blankenship.
Blankenship, and it's got Leon the Professional.
It does have Leon the Professional. And the title is How Doing Less Work for More Money Saved Client Work, or How I Finally Became a Professional Designer. So, 8-something years in the design biz, doing all this stuff, and he got worn down.
What's
it
that?
Just wore him down to a nub.
What's that old joke for lawyers, right? When you start off, you're giving $500 worth of information for $50. And when you get big, you're giving $50 worth of information for $500. Ooh.
Something like that, yeah. So anyway, he's going through something. And so really, he changes how he works. He comes up with like a new plan. And I kind of like his plan. It's kind of a cool plan.
God damn, 15 hours a week and that's it.
He only works 15 hours a week. Yeah, it's pretty cool. He works 15 hours a week and he only works on one client at a time.
That I like.
So, yeah. So the thing is, like, the way that he does this is like, if he can't give you a full 15 hours, then he doesn't work for you for that week. Or if you need more than 15 hours, then you've got to come back multiple times.
I thought I was being edgy yesterday when I was talking about charging by the day.
Yeah, this guy, like, it seems like it would really work for the way that he's doing this, right? He's got 15 hours a week that he works. He only works for one client on one project at a time. So 15 hours a week, one client, right? And he always either charges, like, his full price, which is expensive, apparently.
Right.
Or he works for free.
I work for free or for very expensive.
That's it. That's his only... So if you come to him as a client and you're going to hire him, right, then you're going to get 15 hours and you're going to get a week and it's going to cost you. You're going to pay, however.
I wonder what he charges.
I don't know. I'm guessing a pretty good amount if he's only doing 15 hours a week.
Yeah.
Because let's see, 15 hours a week, say he works... 48 hours out of the year, or 48 weeks out of the year, that's only 720 hours. So he's got to be...
So divide 728 by, like, 65,000.
So, like, 65,000 divided by 720, that puts him at $90 an hour.
He's probably doing more than that.
He's probably doing more than that. Anyway.
I like this guy. I need to see what he's doing.
And so his free work, the way that you get free work from him is like your friends or family or you're like a church or a nonprofit, something like that. And then he's being generous. He's just giving out money. And he doesn't work without a contract and a check.
Well, this is not special to this article. Who it's doesn't do that?
It's not special, but really?
That was a joke. I mean, we've had articles on Forrest of people who have said that they started work without a contract. And we look at them and go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I know. So, but you know what? It's one of those things you have to get bit before you learn, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not everyone, but 90% of the people out there, they have to get bit by not having a contract and then not getting paid before they go, you know what? I should probably have a contract all the time.
And this is how bricks end up inside of, you know, businesses on Main Street that ends up through their windows.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of the stuff that I think it's a cool idea. I mean, it's really neat. And I would love to be able to go, I work 15 hours a week and that's it. If you want more, fuck you.
Right. Or
if you want more, come back next week. But, you know, that's a hard thing. He has the benefit of being a designer. So, and this is going to come off sounding kind of weird. I don't think a developer could necessarily do 15 hours a week only. Because 15 hours isn't necessarily enough time to get a large enough chunk of work done. Right?
I'm going to move it to 20 hours a week.
20, 25, yeah, somewhere in there I think you could probably do. I think 15 might be a little low for a developer, just like I think 15 might be a little low for like a copywriter. Well, actually, if you're only doing one project, 15 might be a little high for a copywriter. Well, I mean, not belittling copywriters, they do a lot of work, but 15 hours, you can write a lot of shit in 15 hours. speaking as someone who did NaNoWriMo several years, you can write a lot of shit in 15 hours. So, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's neat.
The poop that takes a pee.
And I'm sure that you really kind of have to adjust the time frame to your style of work, your style of clients, and how good you actually are. Because you got to know your craft really well to be able to say, yeah, in 15 hours, I can do this amount of shit for you.
No, right? He doesn't know. He just says, I'll do 15 hours at a time, and fuck it. We'll do it. We'll see what happens.
Fuck it. We'll do it live, right? All right, next one. Speaking, not quite 15 hours. It was 48 hours, but it's the Node.js knockout.
KO.
So 48 hours, I do believe it was, to build, 27th to the 29th of August, 48 hours, to build something in Node. And so they announced the winners. And
this Pixel
overall
text
winner
is making me want to fucking, I'm angry about
yeah,
it.
I'm not big on the Pixel text. top winner was Observer by Speedo, which lets you watch your application users in real time and see in your browser what they're doing.
Sneaky britches.
All the events are duplicated and emulated. I kind of like number two, though, 8-bit beats. It's kind of cool. It's a collaborative social beat and melody sequencer.
Uh-oh.
So basically, like, you log on with some friends or some strangers, and you can program in beats into, like, a drum machine.
Let's make some beats.
And they do it, too.
How do I make some beats? DJ Mike. How did it know my name was Mike?
I don't know. How did it not know your name was Mike?
All right, let's go.
Please choose a username.
Let's see.
Oh, DJ Mike is just a suggested name.
All right, I got mine, and I'm DJ Kenneth. Let's go. Wait. This is going to, like, completely break everything.
Wait, okay. Did it work yet? Why can't I get in?
Please choose a username up to 16. Wait.
Did you type in a username?
I typed in a username. It's not working for me. It makes me very sad. All right, there we go. DJ Cookies. New track.
Oh, there we go. You're DJ Cookies?
Yes.
Okay. New track.
That's me. Oh, I see you.
Oh, shit.
I don't think I have any audio on this computer. That's kind of sad. Are you hearing things?
I can. I can hear things a little bit. Let me turn this up.
Yeah, maybe we'll get it from you. Boom. Uh-oh, it's getting jiggy with it. I love it. You just got people sitting here watching us have fun. That's neat.
That is. That's actually, like, a really cool idea.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, the other one is more useful, but that's kind of neat.
This is fun. I mean, this is much less useful. Much less useful.
I think this is the best roundabout way to ever get sound on a computer if it's not working. Stream it to a friend and then let them play it.
And then have them play it, like, nice and loud.
Back over to you over Skype.
Yeah. I think so.
So anyway, that happened.
That did happen. So let's go on. Next one is Keymaster from Mad Robbie. Mad Robbie authored this. And,
are you the gatekeeper?
No, this is the Keymaster.
Oh.
We don't care about the gatekeeper. So this is a little micro library for JavaScript that lets you define and dispatch keyboard shortcuts. It has no dependencies. So basically, this is a really simple thing of saying, when a user pushes this key or this key combination, run this function.
It makes it really easy, JKNav?
JKNav, but you could go beyond JKNav. Maybe you want to do game keys or, you know, way, way more keyboard shortcuts like Gmail has.
Or maybe you want to do an XONav.
Oh, XO! Why would I want to do XONav?
I don't know. Just because my girlfriend's a little freaky and sleeps above her covers. 6 mm-hmm. feet above her covers.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
Can we just stop the show and go watch Ghostbusters?
No, let's not.
Fuck.
Because the next one will probably inspire some fear.
What is this, Cryptico?
It's Cryptico.js. Cryptikaj. And what this does is a client-side cryptography inside your JavaScript.
That's weird.
It'll generate an RSA key pair and a public string, and then you can send messages using this RSA key pair and a public string, and then on the other side you can decrypt it if you have that public string again.
Interesting.
It's kind of cool. I mean, it kind of scares me for no really good reason. I mean, there's JavaScript can do cryptography.
You just know that you have to use this if there's any reason why a Rupert Murdoch newspaper might be interested in seeing what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess so. I just... I don't think JavaScript is a good place for doing things like cryptography and databases.
No, it's the best place.
It's just not by... No. I don't think this is a good idea.
It's where it belongs, Kenneth.
Is it?
It's where
it
belongs.
Are you sure?
Actually, I think you should be writing out your public keys by hand.
I'm just going to memorize it.
Just memorize it.
Just keep it in my wallet, and then when I go to, like, a hacker conference, I'll be like, yeah, wait, here's my public key.
Here's my key. Yeah, 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 you got it now.
Hold on, guys. And just write it down. That would be awesome. I know they had, when I was at JingerCon, they had a GPG or PGP public key sharing party.
Pretty good privacy. Is that what that is?
Yeah, PGP is pretty good privacy, and GPG is the GNU privacy something.
Bananas.
I don't think it's bananas. I think it starts with a G. Hence the GPG.
I don't know, but there's Clint Eastwood with a gun on the next episode.
There is. Article. I don't like Clint Eastwood with a gun. this next one is from sunspring.com, and it's SAS for designers.
I like SAS a little bit. I don't like Compass, and I like regular CSS the best.
The only good thing about Compass, like the thing that I do like about Compass, but that doesn't make it worth using to me, is the sprite support. You can give it like a folder full of images, and it just builds a sprite sheet for you.
And it's like, do it now.
And that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
But, I don't... Maybe I'm just not working in the right kind of projects, or maybe I just know too goddamn much CSS. But I don't yet find it necessary to not just write my own CSS. Copy and paste isn't that hard, guys. And understanding the cascades, again, not that hard.
Not that hard at all.
And so I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Cascade and specificity.
But to me, not that hard.
But anyway, this guy wants you to try it out.
Yeah.
He's saying that just because it's not a article saying if you're not using SAS, you're doing it wrong and, you know, cats and dogs living together. Instead, he's just saying, if you haven't used it, check it out. You might love it.
Well, and he's just got, here's how to do it. Here's how to check it out. Compass is a bit more set up than something like Less is.
Right.
But, you know, it's not that bad. It'll work fine. The only thing that kind of worries me is, like, one of the things he recommends is Scout, which is built on Adobe Air, and that's just kind of scary. But, yeah, it's there. If you want to learn about SAS for designers, you're like, I'm a designer, I should know about SAS, then here you go.
Got all that sass.
Mm-hmm. What you going to do with all that?
Kenneth Love is so sassy.
Bajango and exporting from Photoshop. Yeah. So, this is the fun... Bajango, I love when Bajango goes into articles about Photoshop because they always end up finding these weird problems in Photoshop. So, yeah. So, this whole article is about exporting all of your stuff out of Photoshop. How are you going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So they're talking about like doing sprite sheets and doing copy as merged and layer-based slices.
No, laser-based sprites.
Laser-based sprites would be awesome. And then they go into like what their workflow is. So we're doing retina and non-retina images. So it's there's a lot of shit here.
Who uses slices? Yeah, I could never understand. Slices were always
so many people that use slices.
Fucking annoying to me. Like I never understood them. How to work them. Like, whenever I get an image, I hide everything, but I need, unless it's all on the same layer, highlight it. I mean, marquee around it, copy. That copies everything that's in that area and fits it directly to that size, and then put it on a new thing and export that bitch.
Well, good for you.
I'm going to write an article.
I don't use slices. I don't use Photoshop. So... Yeah.
Oh, Photoshop doesn't care about black people.
Let's go on to Yen Esposito's article, Learn Vim.
This would be a Vim article.
It is. You know what? You could put in Emacs articles or TextMate articles or whatever if you wanted to, but you don't do it, so whatever.
I'm just saying, by the name.
This is actually like really good. I have seen so many fucking bookmarks for this thing on Pinboard that it's just... It's not worth skipping, all right? So basically what it is, it's little, fast, short things about, like, how to use Vim. So it'll take you a couple of weeks, maybe, to get, like, pretty decent with Vim all the way through the end of this. But it's a lot better than, taking years or months.
What you guys don't realize is in order for Kenneth to learn Vim, he actually sewed two extra fingers onto his left hand.
No, no, no. That was when I picked up Emacs. But I took those off for Vim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just had to go kill a couple of people and get at least I think it was just two extra brains I got so that I can understand the other modes. So like normally I'm in normal mode and that's just my brain, but then when I have to go into command mode or insert mode, I switch to.
So what you're saying is that Vim is the age old game of Min, and you are a Highlander.
Something like
there
that.
Can only be one Vim user.
Yeah, there's only one Vim user in the world. The rest of us just wait around for his keystrokes to float down to us, and then we're like, I need that one, and then...
Gotta cut his head off.
No, and then we just grab that keystroke, and our Vim does something. But then eventually that one, he gets old, and he types colon Q when he meant to type colon W, and then someone goes and kills him.
Lovely.
But no, this looks like a decent little introduction to Vim. So if you're interested in it, go read this. If you're not interested in it, fuck you. Airbnb.com. This is their nerd blog. And this is how they switched to an HTML5 photo manager. They used to have their photo manager, and it was all done in Flash, I do believe. Which worked, right? It's okay. Mm-hmm. But now their new one is really nice. It has CSS3's animation stuff in it. It's using HTML5 for the multi-file upload. There's a little like iOS wiggle whenever you're reordering pictures and stuff. So it's fairly brief, but it's a little breakdown into how they set up their new one, how they got things kind of going. So it's kind of cool. It uploads directly to Amazon S3. I don't know. It looks pretty cool. I didn't play with it because I'm not on Airbnb, but...
Yeah, I heard it was all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, I would believe you that this is all that in a bag of chips, because it looks pretty nice.
This is all that. What's the next one? I accidentally jumped to Layer Vault.
That is the next one.
Okay.
Layer Vault is the next one. Layer Vault is simple version control for designers.
Isn't that Git?
No, because Git doesn't work well with binary files.
I know a lot of people who store their PSDs and stuff.
Git does not appreciate your binary files. It'll hold on to them, but it doesn't appreciate it.
Okay.
You know? It's like when you've seen this. Like, you go to the mall and you see the husband that's standing outside the dressing room holding the purse, right? Yeah. He'll hold it, but he ain't happy about it.
He's not good about it.
Right?
That purse could get some barbecue sauce on it accidentally.
Right, you hand Git your binary files and Git's like, whatever, I'll hold on to it, but it's not happy about it. It's not like, yeah, let me hold on to that. But
I think we got it.
Layer Vault apparently is.
What is Layer Vault? How is it made? Is it like a command line tool?
I don't fucking know. I'm not in the beta.
God damn it! Oh, they're in closed beta.
But anyway, no, Layer Vault. It's a little app that runs on your computer. It just hangs out up in the menu bar. And you don't have to deal with command line, you don't have to deal with setup, something like that. And basically all it does is it watches your files, and every time you hit save, every time, you know, you're making a new version, whatever, you're hitting save, it backs that up to their servers.
So it's like
somewhere else on your machine.
It's like versions with Lion?
Yeah, I guess so. Only this is specifically tailored to, like, Photoshop, Illustrator, stuff like that.
And
like
GIMP.
Designer apps. I don't know about GIMP. Maybe GIMP.
That seems like it'd be a big fucking a lot of files if it's doing it like snapshots off of every change.
It could be, unless they have a way to only record the changes.
A diff for a PSD
some
file?
Sort of binary diff, yeah.
That's creepy.
There's probably a way to do it. I don't know. But
check it out. Somebody get on the beta and tell us what it is.
I think right now it only does Photoshop and Illustrator, but yeah. It's there. It looks kind of neat.
It exists.
It does. Cramp is our next one. Cramp is a fully asynchronous real-time web application framework in Ruby. It's built on top of Event Machine and primarily designed for working with a large number of open connections and providing full duplex bi-directional communication. meaning it's for chatbots.
Full duplex bi-directional communication just sounds like a made-up words.
I think some of them is.
I believe you use that when you're trying to get more money at your job.
This is what you tell a
UX designer?
A VC.
Oh, yes.
No, not a UX designer, VC. It ties into WebSockets and server-side events, which is cool. It's got streaming APIs, allows Ruby 1.9 fibers to prevent asynchronous callback spaghetti, and it integrates into Active Record. It's Rack middleware supported, and Rainbows, and thin web servers as well, apparently. So,
yay!
Looks like it'll work everywhere. I don't know. The little sample's kind of nice. Sample that all it does is return hello world.
hello world.
You really can't use hello world as an example on something that's like multi-threaded and asynchronous. Like, that really just doesn't. But if you go to the examples, they've got a website, couple of websockets examples. One showing tying into Redis's PubSub, which is pretty cool. And then they've got another one for server sent events. It looks kind of cool. They've got some examples. It's nice to see Ruby get some handy-dandy little stuff like this. Node's had way too much attention lately.
Some mad loving.
Ruby needs it now. Contracts.coffee! So, if you like doing the whole, like, BDD thing, behavior-driven development, then you're big on contracts and promises and stuff like that. So, Contracts.coffee is a dialect of CoffeeScript that has built-in support for contracts. So, contracts let you express how your code behaves, frees you from writing boilerplates like that. So, it's kind of like assert on steroids.
This is ridiculous.
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. It's there.
Right? Yeah, this is something where I have no comment. I'm just like, yeah,
It looks kind of cool, and it looks pretty simple, right? Like, they've got this, like, ID :: num, arrow num, right? Saying that the ID is going to be a number, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ID equals X, blah, blah, right? And so then they try and put in ID foo instead of a number, and it says, hey, wait, you violated the contract. You put in foo, and it should be a number.
You're fired.
And then you can put contracts on objects, like, you know, name is going to be a string, and age is going to be a number. And so then you put in a string for a name and a number for the age, and it's like, hey, great, awesome. You did good. Thanks a lot. So, I don't know, it looks kind of cool. It looks like it's an easy way to do both testing and to do, like, assurances, right? Like quality assurance kind of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, it looks kind of handy.
Yeah, it's handy for whoever wants to use it.
Yeah, if you need to use this, if you're like, I need that, then now you've got it.
If you like this sort of thing, you will find this to be the sort of thing you like.
Exactly. Speaking of, have you checked out Trello yet?
No, what's Trello?
Trello.com. It's the new joint from Spolsky.
The new joint? Well, if it's a new joint,
it's a Spolsky joint.
What's
joint? The guy behind Stack Overflow.
Okay. Trello.
Trello. T-R-E-L-L-O. Like Jello, but with a tre at the beginning. So anyway, it's kind of cool. It's like lists and categories on Node.js steroids.
Oh, I see it, yeah.
It's kind of neat. It's interesting.
It's a simple yet powerful project management tool.
Yeah. So I've been playing with it for a couple of days now. It's kind of nice.
I'll peep it. I'll get some projects and then use it.
But you know what that is?
That's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show. Woo-hoo! Trello's actually not even in the show. I just brought that up afterwards because I was like,
wait, you're saying Trello isn't paying the price to be on the show?
No, not this week. Maybe they will next.
I'm sorry for all of our other links.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
If you're interested in having your article or blog post on the Forest Podcast, please send $37 in wampum, too.
If only it was that easy. So, where can they find us? They can go to forestpodcast.com.
Lies. Pishposh.tv.
No, they can go to forestpodcast.com, which will end up redirecting them to fishposh.tv.
Yes, it will.
They can hit us up on Twitter as Forest Podcast. That's not going to change. And they can email us, podcast@forest.com.
That's true.
That one's there to keep you on your toes. Make sure you're paying attention. Right. Because otherwise you're going to be sending emails off to something at forestpodcast.com and none of us get those. So
we're actually going to be like, I don't know. <What's the>
email?
Shit don't work.
What's the email? So anyway, that's all of us. We'll be back.
Monday.
Oh, thank God. We'll be back Monday. Just to mention again, Tuesday is going to be when Edon Gazette is on. If you've got any questions or comments for him, send those in.
Right.
Tell your friends and family. Be all like, ooh, look, Edon's going to be on. And we'll be back on Monday.
That's all, folks.